Hi, and welcome to the Feed the Pig podcast. I'm your host, Tim Farrell. Money shouldn't drive your future, but neither should debt. It's time for you to take control, not just for today, but for your whole life. Remember, small changes add up. The Feed the Pig podcast is here to help you take steps to start saving for today, so you'll have a solid financial future tomorrow. Here on episode 12, we're going to talk about mutual fund basics. Is your fund loaded, or is there no load? Welcome back to the Feed the Pig podcast. We're here again to talk a little bit more about saving and investing and spending and ways for you to get the most out of your dollars and maybe even change your habits and think a little differently about the way you spend and save. Today, we're very fortunate. We have Al, who has joined us. Hi, Al. Thanks for coming in.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So let me ask you, Al. Tell everybody a little bit about yourself. Where you're from? How old are you? What are you doing?
Well, I'm originally from California, and I moved to New York City a little over a year ago. And I just started a new job. There's a little talk about 401k that I can start up, but I have no idea what that's all about.
So is there any amount of time that they ask you to wait before you can join the 401k, or can you join right away?
Well, I think it was 3 months that they were telling me.
Okay.
And I just wanted to start thinking about it now because it's coming up on that point. And I have questions, but all the paperwork seems to be kind of daunting. And yes, and I just kind of need it explained in its most simplest terms, you know.
Very good. Well, I know that within my 401k, most of what I have is in mutual funds. And I know there are different kinds of mutual funds, and we're going to talk a little bit about that now because that may help you kind of get a sense of what you want to do with your new 401k at your new job. But before I do that, I want to introduce Jordan Amon, who's a CPA from New Jersey. Jordan, as always, thanks for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me. How you doing, Al?
I'm doing fine.
So, you heard a little bit, Jordan, about Al and his new experience having to look at mutual funds within his 401k, and he's confused. And I honestly am too. What are the different types of mutual funds?
Well, first, before I even get into that, I want to say congratulations for thinking about your 401k. It's a terrific way to save, especially if your company's offering a match. It's a terrific way to save, and I'm just glad that you're thinking about it and serious about starting to save some money for retirement. So having said that, generally speaking, what a mutual fund allows people like you and I to do is own it's a portfolio of stocks that's managed by a professional manager. So they may own, if you were trying to do it yourself, you can never afford to own, enough shares of all these different companies. But what they allow you to do is buy a share of their fund, which could be invested in, 300 different companies or 50 different companies. So it's, simply stated, it's a pool of money managed by professional advisors that's owned by all different, individuals and institutions.
Can it be stocks only, or is it other stuff too?
No, there's bond funds and there's different types of mutual funds. Generally, when people talk about it, they're referring to, stock funds, but there are certainly mutual funds made up of bonds and, other sort of, liquid investments like short-term cash instruments and things like that.
So, Al, when you had your options to look at your mutual fund options, what was it that was going through your mind?
Well, one thing that kind of confused me was there were options that were higher risk and ones that were explained to me as being a bit sort of just safer. And I'm not exactly sure exactly what the benefits were of going one way or the other.
Jordan, the risk that they're referring to, that's really just like the risk of performance, isn't it? Like it may go up, it may go down, that sort of thing?
It is. One of the other benefits of a mutual fund, which I failed to mention, is that, diversification. And what diversification means is if you were going to invest on your own, you may have, a couple hundred dollars to put into one stock. What diversification allows you to do is to spread your risk out over multiple investments. So in this mutual fund, if it holds 50 stocks and, 25 could go up, 25 could go down, or hopefully, a greater percentage goes up than down, it allows you to offset your risk a little bit. Now, within, different funds can be, can have different levels of risk depending on what the underlying investments are. So, you have some some stock that by nature is a safer investment. It'll have generally a less volatile. When it goes up, it's going to go up, you know, a few percentage points, and when it goes down, it's going to go down a few percentage points. You have others that are considered riskier, that are more volatile, that could go up and down 30% within a certain period of time. So when you talk about risk, you know, it means different things, but generally you're talking about, you know, your risk and reward. How much, you know, can, how much might it go down? How much might it go up?
I guess, how do you know which of the mutual funds you want? You know, somebody had said to me once that I'm a little older than Al. Al, how old are you?
I'm 27.
I'm a little older. When I was first getting involved with my 401k and I was looking at the mutual funds, I had someone say to me, you know what, you're younger, for the long term, you know, go risky now. You know, based on age, is there anything that you should be thinking in terms of higher risk or lower risk?
Age plays a factor simply from the standpoint that if you're, you know, if you're 5 years from retirement, it, and the stock market were to dip 20%, it's going to take a lot longer for you to withstand that dip and build back up to where you were. If you're age 27 and you have, you know, 30 plus years to retirement, you can withstand a decrease in your principal, you know, invested in your retirement accounts, because you're not drawing on it and you have 30 years to make up that difference. So you can, you know, take the chance of higher, you know, higher reward for higher risk because you have a longer time till you need that money. So that's where age plays a significant part of the risk analysis. But the other thing has to do with you individually. If you don't like risk, and if you're putting, you know, 10% of your salary into a 401k, and you're up at night worried because you read that the stock market's going down, then that's not good either. So, you know, they have risk profiles that, you know, a lot of times your 401k administrator, they'll give you to kind of figure out, you know, where you should be, and they rank the mutual funds for you as, you know, aggressive, moderate, you know, conservative, and you can kind of match a portfolio to your risk needs and your risk profile.
Okay, so I have a question. Being someone who doesn't really understand this quite too well, I want to know how do I pick the right fund for me?
It's a very, very good question. Usually your company will provide you know, an investment advisor, someone that you can get advice from based on the different funds that are covered in your company's 401k plan. But a good place to start, as I mentioned before, is to find a risk profile online and answer the questions. And it's going to ask you questions about you personally, how you feel about money, how you feel about investing, if you have any experience. And it's going to give you sort of a generic risk profile. And then you can look at the funds that fit within your portfolio. And usually, like I said, they will give you information of what measure of risk those funds have. And you can start to sort of select a couple of funds that fit into your risk profile.
How about fees? Are there fees associated with mutual funds?
There are fees.
On the news, sometimes you'll hear they'll be like, no load funds. What are those?
The load is considered the sales charge, and you may have it at the time when you purchase it, if it's in the front end, or when you redeem. When you redeem your shares from the mutual fund, which is called a back-end load. Some of them have no-load funds, which are no sales charges. But in addition to those charges, there's also expenses within the fund. And usually in the prospectus that they give you, they show it to you. They show you it as a percentage of the, you know, the expenses. So they'll show you the fees as a total. So the higher the expense ratio, you might have a lower return. So let me say that another way. If you have two funds that were invested in all the same assets, and each and one had a higher expense ratio than the other, you'd have a greater return with the one with a lower expense ratio.
I see.
And those expenses include, you know, the performance compensation to the managers and the different things like that that are included in the fund. So it's something to pay attention to, but it's usually accounted for in the annual percentage returns that they show you.
Very good. All right, Al, do you feel better now? Are you ready to go take on your mutual funds and your 401k?
Yes, I'm ready to go tackle it now.
Thanks for listening to episode 12 of the Feed the Pig podcast. Join us next time where we're going to talk about life insurance and who needs it and who really needs it. Jordan Amon works for Amper, Polizziner, and Mattia, a CPA firm in the New York, New Jersey region. If you're looking for more information on ways to save, you can check out feedthepig.org. That's feedthepig.org. Or if you have a question that you want us to talk about, email it to us at feedthepig@gmail.com.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or FeedThePig.org. It is provided with the understanding that AICPA and FeedThePig.org are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and FeedThePig.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to and assume no responsibility for the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.